Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. We sing holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. As we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy,
you are holy.
Holy, holy, holy,
you are holy.
Holy, holy,
holy,
holy, the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy,
you are holy.
The Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
Thank you, Lord. Dear Lord, we come before you as we do every Sunday. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity and this chance that we might be able to hear your words, that we may be able to receive their meaning, and that we may be able to walk as you want us to walk. And we thank you for all these things and all the blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
There is a night.
You can turn the dark into light. You can take a soul that was lost, turn it around. Lord, on my own, my heart can turn as hard as a stone. You can make it tender again with your love. Stir up a hunger. Dark into light. You can take a stroll that was lost, turn it around. Lord, on my own, I can turn as hard as a stone. You can make it tender again with your love. Turn up a hunger.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for everything we get. Praise the Lord for all we have. Let's turn over to John this morning. And I'm going to start in 14 at verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from whence ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it satisfieth us. Suffice us. I can't even pronounce it then. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works itself. Works' sake. Sorry. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. Doesn't that speak of the world? Show me God. That's what almost all of them say. That's what all of them want. And if Jesus Christ appeared before them this very instant, they would not know him. They wouldn't know him. The reason they wouldn't know him is because they don't believe him to begin with. But all you have to do is look around you to see the Lord. Look at the world. Look at the things in the world. They were created by God. The trees, the plants, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, and all the animals that roam on the earth were created by God. And every attempt that man makes to try to manipulate and make, the first thing they're not making is the atom. They're not making up the most minute material to start the process. Sure, they can split it. They can combine it. They can do all kinds of things to it, but they cannot make that element to start it off.
Man cannot make a single molecule. That is proof that there is someone above that did. Because if you look at it scientifically, there is nothing that should hold a molecule together. It should all go spinning apart and just going wherever it wants.
That's an atom.
An atom, yes. It should go wherever it wants. It should just fly apart. Nothing should hold it together. Yet it does. There's 1,000 animals that walk this earth that prove evolution could not exist. Because none of them would have survived to evolve. None of them. Only by a divine creator were these things made. And you look at this world through the whole timeline, Jesus has been present from the beginning. When the earth was spoke into existence. When Jesus formed man out of dust in the earth and breathed life into him. So how can people turn around and say, well, show me God? Because if he appeared to them today, they would not know who he is. That's where our job comes in. To show them by the way we live our lives. By showing them our faith. And by telling them the truth of the gospel. So that they too can have a chance to receive the grace, the mercy, and the peace that only comes from Jesus Christ. Amen.
Like a blood.
Praise the Lord. Wow. That's one of my favorite songs. I like that song. I mean, at the cross, I mean, that is where your hope is found. Period. And what Bob was talking about, I mean, we need to show others Christ that they can see where their hope can be found. I think people in general know that there's something out there. They feel that there's this hole in their heart that needs to be filled. And they spend their lives looking for it. You know, a lot of folks fill that hole, or they try to fill that hole with, you know, drugs or alcohol or shopping. You know, I don't know what they fill it with, but it could be anything. That hole just doesn't get filled. It's never enough. It's never complete. But Jesus can fill that hole. He can fill that hole perfectly. He can give you that hope, that completeness, that joy that you're searching for, that you just can't find. I mean, gosh, I didn't even know that that's what I was searching for. Until I met a man of God that showed me, that told me, wow. And then I had to make a choice. Do I keep doing what I've been doing? Or do I do something different? And this seems like a pretty important choice at the time to me. I said, you know, I got to do something different. So I did. Now, as Christians, we're called to go out into the world, to share Christ with others, to love God, to love your neighbor. And if you're not doing that, if the others aren't seeing that, they're going to continue to turn to the things that can't fill that hole. They're going to continue to search for that which they don't even know what they're searching for. That's the definition of lost. You don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going. It's a sad place. You guys remember that old show, Candid Camera? I don't remember if I was you know, old enough to see them when they were fresh or if I was just watching reruns. But I remember this one episode where, you know, the actor, he's out standing on the street. He's just standing there. He's kind of looking around. He's looking at the ground. You know, people are walking by him kind of looking at the guy. You know, but nobody stops. He just keeps looking. Keeps looking around, people walking by. Finally, he gets down on his hands and knees, and he's looking at the ground, and he's kind of, you know, moving his hands around on the ground, and he's looking. And sure enough, somebody stops. And they got down on the ground. And they were doing the same thing he was doing. They didn't ask him what he was looking for. They just stopped and helped. And, you know, a couple minutes pass, and before you know it, there's 10, 12, 15 people on their hands and knees, just looking around on the ground. Quietly, the actor just kind of stands up and just walks away. And you got all these people sitting on the ground looking for that which they don't even know what was lost. And it's hilarious, you know, when you're watching this. But isn't that what people are doing? Isn't that what we've done in times past? Isn't that where we fall into? Turn over to, let's see here, Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There it is. There it is. If we can do that, and we can walk out into the world, we can show others the love of Christ. And if you noticed here, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. See, it's nothing that you can do. You have to let him do it. Get out of the way, man. Just get out of the way. Amen.
I want to read the very next one. Verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Glad you read that next verse. If you didn't, I was gonna. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Boy, I've had this thing rattling around in my head for the last couple days, and I did not know how it was going to play in. Praise God, I think it will. Back when I first moved to Vermont, back in 89, one of the very first things that I heard preached and talked about a lot was to ask yourself why. Do you remember that? Why do you do a thing? Why do you say a thing? Why? Why are you here? Why? And the point of that was to look inside yourself and really examine the motives. Are you here because it's what's expected of you? Are you here because you feel like you have to be? Are you here because you think you have no other choice? Or are you here because you love Jesus and you want to serve him? See, if we go through and ask ourselves why, then the light of God can shine in our hearts and he will begin to show you why. And sometimes when that light first hits, it's very uncomfortable. And it's very ugly. And you may not seem like you know what you're going to do with it. I mean, all right, I'm starting to ask why, and I'm not liking why. And it's not just about why you're here. It's about why you said what you said. Imagine if before you spoke, you asked yourself, why do I want to say that? And then I wonder if we process that, why do I want to say that? And we really were honest with ourselves. I wonder how often we would just be quiet. Because the reason we're doing it is out of pride, or out of self-righteousness, or self-importance, or whatever it is. Because the nature of our heart without Christ is what? Evil continuously. And what Scott was reading about in Colossians here, what Bob was talking about, was about completely changing our nature, which is one of carnality, opposite of God, wants nothing to do with God, wants absolutely everything to do with elevating itself, promoting itself, justifying itself, being right in every single situation, all the time. Isn't that what your nature wants? Isn't that it? But it is wrong. It is evil. God is right. Jesus is right. His word is right. And when you begin to ask yourself why and wrestle that to the ground, that's when you can get free of that stuff. Because if you don't, it just sits there and festers. It just sits there and boils and festers and gets worse and worse. And then one day you just explode and you wonder why it happened. It's because you never really asked yourself why in the first place. Why are you here? Why are you here? I've had to ask myself that question many, many, many times. It's not something I did once. Something I do often. And sometimes I don't like the answer. But there's this one passage in Scripture that I go back to because it's what I hold on to when I just don't have an answer. You know, Jesus had a bunch of people following him. You all know the story. He had a bunch of people with him. And they asked him, what do we have to do the works of God? I mean, what? And they're looking for a checklist, man. You know, they're looking for some sort of method or some sort of mechanical thing. And my wife all the time is looking for, just tell me what to do, because she likes that checklist, right, Cheryl? You like a plan, and you shall not deviate from the plan. Deviation from the plan is bad. Not so much. Because the plan, whether we want to acknowledge it or not, the plan is actually unbelief. It's all right to pencil things in. It's all right. But it's pencil, not pen, not granite, Sue. Sue wants the granite tablet. Right? She wants it to have been chiseled out. Granite tablet, she's got her check boxes. It just doesn't work. Faith doesn't work that way. And they asked him a question, what do we have to do the works of God? Well, you read a scripture, Bob. And it says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, what? The works that I do, you'll do also. Yea, far greater works, right? Didn't you read that scripture? So what was Jesus' answers to his disciples? Those that believe on him, right? Do you know his answer to those people was what? Believe on him who he has sent. Same answer. Scott asked Steve a question. What was the question? What's the big secret, Steve? What's the big secret to following God? And what was it? What was it? Steve wrote one answer, one word. What was it? Believe. So Jesus says, believe on him who he has sent. He tells his disciples, those that believe on me, the works that I do, they'll do also, yea, far greater works. But those people, they didn't like that answer. They started to argue with Jesus. You remember that story? And he goes on this whole thing, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you won't, you know, that whole thing. They got all bent out of shape, and all of them left. All of them ran away, except the 12. And he goes to the 12, and he says, are you going to go too? And they say, no, where are we going to go? For you have the words of eternal life. Forgive me for paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. And so I get to the place sometimes where I ask myself why, and I just don't have a good answer. But I tell you, there's one answer that I know is certain, is that here are the words of eternal life, because the word of Jesus is spoken. And if for no other reason I can come up with, that is reason enough. That is reason enough. And if there are other things in my heart that are not right, I thank God for His grace to cover that and work with me to work them out, so that I can actually live this verse. I mean, this is a pretty high standard, is it not? I mean, we're over here in Colossians. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Well, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And we have the how-to before that. We have the how-to. I was going to go to Ephesians today. I'm not now. I mean, I don't see there's a point to it. But over in Ephesians 4, it talks about putting off the former conversation. It's the same thing, right? Put off all this stuff. Put on Jesus. Put on the mind of Christ. We have the how-to. His name's Jesus. So ask yourself why. And if it's a bad answer, repent. Because His grace is sufficient for even that. Amen? And then you can move forward. And you can change your why. Did you know you can change your why? That first part of Colossians that you were reading, it says, set your affections on things above. That means you can choose what you like. You can choose what you want. You can even choose your why. But you have to do it. Start by asking. Let the light of God's word shine in your heart. And then let Him start doing His work in you. Amen.
Greetings.
And salutations.
Amen. Bob said earlier that we were to, and I'm going to paraphrase him now. He said earlier something about we got to go out there and show these people who Christ is. They're trying to find something and they don't know what they're finding and looking for. And Scott was mentioning that too. And it's up to us to show them. Amen, everybody. And then I thought, praise God, they poor people, they ain't got a snowball's chance in hell of finding Jesus. Not if they got to look to you or the churches out there. Ain't going to happen without the power of God intervening somehow. I remember a story of a man. His name was Scott Zuanich. He was going through a hard time. He went to a church, one of them big mega churches. I think it was in Burlington, Vermont. One of them love churches, you know. Everything was love, love, love. He was really going through a hurting time. And he got up there to the church just before church started. And he broke down crying. And I don't remember whether he was in his car or out of his car. He was in his car. And as people were coming in the church, they all looked at him. They passed by and they looked at this man weeping in his car in this church of love. And not one person stopped and said, "May I help you?" Not one. Jesus said to the church, "You are the salt of the earth. Salt loses saltiness, good for nothing, but cast out, trodden under the foot of men." I'm going to tell you right now, the church today is worthless. It's worthless. It's not worth stomping on. What did Jesus come to do? What did he come to do? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to what? Piss on them. Use them. Abuse them. Mistreat them. By the way, somebody gets mad because I said piss on them. God said about something about them pissing on the wall. So deal with it. What did Jesus Christ come to do? He came that if it be possible to save the world, that those that believe in him might be saved. Yeah, if believing in Jesus doesn't save you, and believing on him does, how can they ever get to the believing on if they can't believe in the first place? And how can they believe in the first place if the church isn't being what God called it to be? Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto thee. Love one another as I've loved you." And again, he said, "Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." That's the sum of the law. That's the sum of it all. So we have two things: forgiveness and love. And you can't have forgiveness if you don't have love. And you got to start by forgiving yourself. How can you forgive others if you cannot forgive yourself? We've all sinned, every one of us. We've all done things we're not happy about, we're not proud about. We've all done things that sometimes we'll think about and it'll give us a knot in our stomach or just, "Oh God, you know, well, I gotta have to remember that. How could I be so stupid?" We've all done those things. And if we can't do what God does for us, if we can't forgive ourselves and forget it like God does, and if we receive God's forgiveness, we will forget it, then how can we forgive others? Can't do it. Church needs to get salt. It needs to get salty. And in order to get salty, the church has to turn itself over totally to the Lord. And it starts with you. And it starts with me. Because I am not the church. You are not the church. Together, we are the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And if we're going to walk as the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, the Church in which God is going to do some great things with, then we have to forgive ourselves, forgive one another, and be ready to forgive those around us. Amen. I'm done.
All I want is to be in the light. All
no rock. There is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock of salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock. There is no God.
Barbara was dating a man in a church, and the pastor made the man break off the engagement with Barbara because she wasn't worthy. Her mother was divorced. I remember a church where a man came in and wanted to join the church, and he had been there, he'd been given his tithes, he'd been working. Anytime anything needed to be done, he was the first one to volunteer. And one day he said he wanted to join the church, and they said, "Oh, but you can't." He said, "Why not?" "Well, because you're divorced." So many churches have conditions that you have to meet in order to join their fellowship. That's not what God called us to do. I'll tell you what, the Fisherman Miller Ministry and their churches or chapels, if you will, fellowships, they have one condition for you to join them. That you're a sinner. If you're not a sinner, we don't want you. You come to me and tell me you're not a sinner, I know right away you're lying. Because we're all sinners. In thought, word, or deed, or all of the above. Not a day goes by. I would just say it was different, but it's not. We battle it, we fight it, we seek to serve God, and we seek to do that which is right. But I'm going to tell you right, unless you're capable of passing through the eye of a sewing needle, you are not going to go to heaven except God intervene. And that through Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's stand on that rock. And love one another. Forgive. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Back to the beginning.
There's no rock. There's no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Like a salvation that cannot be moved, proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like ours. Like a baby.
Thank you.
Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will sing. Through you the dead will rise. Through you all hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart speaks high and free. Victory, because of you, my heart sings. I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
And I'm free to run. I am free to run.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.